Welcome to Treasures Old and New from ART. Hi, I'm Joy Jackson. Let's listen to ART's recreation of one of the episodes of The Saint. It's called The High Fence, starring Mark Whitworth as Simon Templar.
American Radio Theater presents a recreation of a lost old-time radio show, The Saint, the Robin Hood of modern crime. The episode is The High Fence. The daring adventures in the career of Leslie Charteris's favorite detective of fiction, radio, and motion pictures, the Robin Hood of modern crime, Simon Templar, known to millions of you as The Saint. Tonight, we find Simon with beautiful Patricia Holm, the girl in his life, and the unreasonably unbeautiful Hoppy Unietz, who thinks with his ham-sized fists and his beloved automatic Betsy. They are having a belated breakfast in the dining room of the Hotel Parkside in New York City. Pat is feeling very gay as she reaches across the table and attempts to snatch the newspaper, which is forming a curtain between her and Simon Templar.
It's very impolite to read a newspaper when you're in such charming company, Simon.
You are referring to Hoppy, of course.
Hey, boss, let me see the funnies, will you?
You can have the whole paper, Hoppy.
I'll bet that breathless dame outsmarts Dick Tracy.
What were you reading, Simon?
A very interesting story. Some opportunist, whose name is as yet unknown to the police, sought a hole through the floor of an office above De La Fevre Frérissie on Madison Avenue, and waltzed gaily out the rear door with over $100,000 in sparkling jewels. A very neat job. Sorry, I didn't think of it myself.
Give me the funnies, will you, boss?
Hello, Saint.
Why, Inspector John Henry Fernack, this is a pleasant surprise. You remember Detective Inspector Fernack, Pat? Defender of truth, terror of the evildoer, the only detective with the nose of a bloodhound and jowls to match.
Of course. Hello, Inspector.
You'll pardon me if I don't stand, Inspector. My feet hurt.
Where were you last night, Saint?
How nice of you to ask. I was going to stay home and bake a cake for a friend of mine who is spending some time in Sing Sing. I had the flour and the hacksaw blades and the shortening all ready.
I see you were reading the story about Johnny Ainsworth picking himself up $100,000 worth of jewelry on Madison Avenue last night.
That's right, John Henry. Fascinating work. I imagine...
Johnny's been peddling his stuff to the high fence, and he was poisoned in his cell this morning, just as he was going to tell me who the high fence was.
Goodness, Inspector, are you still trying to climb the high fence?
Yes. And the commissioner figures that you're it.
Fernack, these jewel robberies have to stop. Mrs. Pryke here, who...
Madeline.
Who represents the insurance companies, has every right to expect action from the police.
This morning, Mr. Peabody of the Peabody Jewelers was called to a hotel where a wealthy Argentine and his bride wanted to pick out a diamond bracelet.
And what happened? This wealthy Argentine, whose name on the register was Señor Lopez, and his bride pick out the most expensive of 6 diamond bracelets, which Peabody himself took to the hotel. The Señor gave him a check, they have a drink to celebrate, and Peabody wakes up 2 hours later with a rubber check and no bracelets.
We'll have the man who pulled this caper in the jug in an hour, Commissioner.
It was the Saint, I tell ya.
It is a typical Saint crime.
If you just let me say something... I have Peabody, the jeweler, and the clerk at the Parkside Hotel who recommended him to Señor Lopez, both going through the rogues gallery right now. If this Lopez has a record, they'll pick out his picture, and I'll pinch him.
Have they seen the Saint's picture?
They have. It was not the Saint. Lord knows I wish it was. There's nobody I'd rather put the arm on than Simon Templar. This is where Sunny Jim Fasten is hiding out, Madeline. Please, let me do the talking. I know how to tackle crooks, and I know how to get what I want out of them.
Like you've always known how to get what you want out of the saint, Mr. Furnack.
Don't worry about the saint. I'll have him where I want him someday. Hello, Sonny Jim. Don't make any trouble. Nobody's going to hurt you. Stop trying to close that door, because my foot's in it, and I'm sensitive.
Come here, Furnack. What's it about this time, Flatfoot?
This is Madeline Pryke. She's a private detective for the insurance companies that cover those diamond bracelets you picked up at the Hotel Parkside yesterday. Peabody, the jeweler, the hotel clerk, and three bellboys have identified your picture, Señor Lopez.
Oh. You still have the bracelets?
Oh, what bracelets?
Don't be obtuse. Have you sent them off to the high fence yet?
Look, you got me over a barrel. Why should I talk?
I represent the insurance company, Mr. Fasten. If you will tell us where you contact the high fence, we will not prosecute.
You mean that?
You can believe what Mrs. Pryke says, Sonny Jim. Do you want to do 10 to 20? Or do you want to sing a song? Come on, talk.
Yeah, sure. I sent the bracelets off in the mail, addressed to the high fence. And...
Hey!
Come on!
Did you see the killer?
Only his back.
Must have been the high fence himself. This is the second man he's killed just as they were going to talk.
Paper, get your Evening Telegraph here.
Hey, you.
Me?
Which way did that man go that just came out of here?
You must be nuts, fatty. Nobody come out of that door for the last 5 minutes. What's the matter? Did he pinch something?
Come on, Madeline. We better get upstairs and see what's happened.
He couldn't have gotten out of the building. He must be inside here someplace.
He'll never get away with this, shooting a man right under my nose.
This is most embarrassing.
Embarrassing, huh? Oh, it's you, Saint, as I live and breathe.
The body. Fasten's body. It's gone.
Are you accusing me of being a body snatcher from the picture of the same name, John Henry?
At last. Stand up, Saint. I want you.
We'll return to the Saint in just a moment, but right here is a suggestion that will make tomorrow's supper taste extra special. Start off with Campbell's newest soup, cream of spinach.
Cream of spinach soup, Mr. Schindler? That sounds good.
It sure is. Campbell's Cream of Spinach Soup has made more friends in a shorter time than any soup ever did, because it brims with garden goodness. The spinach is the fresh, dark green kind, picked when it's crisp and tender, and filled to the tip of every leaf with flavor. And the soup is made with all of Campbell's special skill, watchfully cooked and expertly seasoned for creamy smoothness and delicious flavor.
And to find something new that will help give variety to meals these days sounds wonderful.
Yes, and it tastes even better than that, as your family will soon tell you. So better ask your grocer tomorrow for Campbell's newest soup, cream of spinach, and take home a couple of cans. If he doesn't have it, he can get it for you. And you'll find tempting summer meals can be ready in a jiffy with Campbell's cream of spinach soup to help you. Why, Campbell's soup on your shelf is like a part-time cook in your kitchen. And now, back to the Saint. Inspector Furnack of the New York Police and a Mrs. Madeline Pryke, a detective who represents the insurance companies who have lost several $100,000 in jewel thefts during the past few months through the efforts of a man only known as the High Fence, have just seen a cornered jewel thief by the name of Sonny Jim Fasten, alias Lopez, shot right before their eyes as he was about to divulge the address of the High Fence. The murderer ran down the stairs and disappeared. The two policemen returned to the apartment where the murder took place to find the body of Fasten had vanished and the chair where it had been resting occupied by the Saint. John Henry Furnack says,
"At last. Stand up, Saint. I want you."
"Hello, John Henry. What are you doing here?"
"I want to know what you're doing here."
"Who's your friend in the loud hat and that scarf? Really, John Henry, you should caution her about her taste in haberdashery.
That's Madeline Pryke. She's an insurance company detective, and she's just as interested in you as I am.
How flattering.
So, you're the high fence.
I am. I wonder why Mother never tells me about these things.
What are you doing here, Mr. Templar?
What a lovely voice.
What are you doing here, Templar?
I dropped in to pay a call on Sonny Jim, but he doesn't seem to be here.
Sonny Jim's been murdered.
Well, that sounds awfully exciting. But John Henry, I blew in to see if he knew anything about some diamond bracelets that a fellow named Peabody lost this afternoon. You know I don't approve of anybody else outsmarting insurance companies, but I can't say that I thought of shooting him.
How did you know he was shot?
My dear old fathead, I didn't. I merely said I didn't think of shooting him. Was he shot?
Yes.
When?
As a matter of fact, Sonny Jim Fasson was shot in this room less than 5 minutes ago. Somebody opened the door and shot him while we were talking to him.
Just in time to keep him from telling me where I could put the finger on the high fence.
You are the high fence, Simon Templar.
That's silly, Fancy Pants.
I'm going to find the man that shot Sonny Jim.
I'm sure you are, John Henry. You always do find out these things with that marvelous brain of yours.
This man should be arrested, Vernac. He's the high fence.
John Henry, you're not idiot enough. Even you, to pinch me for murdering a man that nobody can prove was murdered, and stealing a corpse that nobody can prove was a corpse.
Someday, Mr. Saint, I'm going to...
Of course, John Henry, but this isn't the day for it. I feel the urge to move on to better company. Either break out the handcuffs, John Henry, or move out of that doorway that you fill so well sideways. I must be getting on.
You can go now. I'll know where to find you when I want you, Saint.
Where have you been, Simon, if I'm not being too curious?
Oh, I've been having a chat with John Henry Fernack, Pat, darling.
How was John Henry?
I'm afraid he thinks I know who the high fence is, and he thinks that I'm wanting to find out where this bird keeps his boodle and cash so that I can relieve him of it before he gets pinched.
Well, for once, John Henry is right.
You lovely thing, Pat. I can't understand where you get those ideas.
Hoppy, how's the patient coming along?
He's opening his eyes, boss.
Welcome, stranger. I want to talk to you, Fasson.
What do you want? What do you want? Who are you?
Templar's the name, Sonny Jim. Simon Templar.
You're the saint.
That's right.
You're the high fence.
No, you're only allowed one guess, you know.
You tried to shoot me just now.
Wrong again, brother. When I shoot people, they don't have a chance to be rude to me afterwards. You were going to tell Inspector Fernack something. What was it?
I don't know nothing.
Do I give in the heat, boss?
Not yet, Hoppy. By the way, Sonny Jim, this is Hoppy Unez. When he speaks of giving you the heat, he means twisting your arm off, or burning your feet, or some jolly little romp like that. Give his arm just a little twist, Hoppy.
Sure, boss.
Wait a minute. You're breaking my arm. You'll kill me.
Yes, that's perfectly possible. I never know what Hoppy's going to think of next. A little more pressure, Hoppy?
No. I'll talk.
Tell me something about the high fence, and I'll ask Hoppy to be reasonable.
I sent him some stuff once and waited outside the post office to see who picked it up. I pegged him and tailed him to the Cozy Corner Cafe in White Plains.
Let the nice man rest a minute, Hoppy. Go on, Sonny Jim.
This fellow that picked up the package at the post office took it to the Cozy Corner and shoved it into the pocket of an overcoat that was hanging there on the rail. I gotta get out of here.
Okay. Hoppy, show the gentleman to the door, will you?
Hey, you gonna let him go, boss?
Take him downstairs and put him in a cab.
Sometimes I don't think you know what you're doing, boss, but you always do. Come on, horse face. The boss says it's okay.
I think it would be a good idea if you stayed slightly invisible, Sonny Jim. Inspector Furnack is mad at you.
Yeah, I know.
I'll be right back, boss.
Well, that was a fascinating little tableau.
I can't tell you how glad I am that you liked it, darling. I think Mr. Fasten sang very prettily.
I gather from that smirk on your face that the information about the Cozy Corner Cafe in White Plains was exactly what you wanted.
That's right, Angel. That's exactly what I wanted. And if you'll just give me one of your better kisses, I'll tell you what I'm going to do next.
Hoppy, you okay?
Yeah, but...
Get up here!
What happened, Simon?
Somebody was parked out in front waiting for Sonny Jim to come out. They got him, Pat. He is very dead out there in the street.
Who do you suppose killed him?
It must have been our lethal playmate, the High Fence. I thought this address was our own little secret, but somebody's onto it, Angel. We'll be moving on to White Plains and the Cozy Corner Cafe. Doesn't that sound revolting? This Cozy Corner cornstarch pudding, delicious, isn't it?
It tastes like those chocolate-covered rubber bones I used to buy for my dog. Boiled down to the consistency of glue, of course.
You've tried some of the strangest experiments, darling. You see that little man over there with the brakeman haircut?
Yes, why?
Well, unless I'm mistaken, that man is the High Fence.
What makes you think so, Simon?
Well, he wore that camel's hair overcoat in here. See it hanging in front near the cashier's desk?
Yes.
And I just saw a young man with crook written all over his face in neon lights slip a small package into the pocket of that coat. That's what we've been waiting for, Pat. This is the main event.
He's getting ready to leave, Simon.
I feel a strange attraction toward that little man, Patricia. Come on.
He's going into that office building, Simon.
Get on the same elevator with him. Find out where he goes and what he does. I'll wait here.
All right.
Well, what did you discover, swoon girl?
His name is C.W. Enderby. I listened outside his office door.
How impolite of you, you wonderful woman. What did you hear?
He told his secretary, Miss Sloat, that he had a large order for diamonds to go to England by clipper tomorrow.
Excellent.
He told Miss Sloat to call the insurance company and have them send a man over to make the usual arrangements.
Beautiful. And then what?
He came out of the office and rode down on the same elevator with me. I was scared to death, Simon.
Darling, would you be shocked if I kissed you right here in the street?
Oh, Simon.
Hello, is Mr. Enderby here?
No, he isn't.
I'm from the insurance company.
About the jewels?
Yes.
You've been quick.
I was out here in White Plains on a job. I had to ring the office from there just around the corner, and they told me to come along here. Are these the stones?
Uh-huh.
Well, if you'll finish packing them, miss, I'll just take them along now.
Take them along?
Yes, beautiful. It's a new rule. Everything of this kind that we cover has to be sealed and examined in our office and sent off from there.
Well, that's funny. Mr. Enderby's been dealing with your firm for a long time.
I'm sorry. I'll give you a receipt for them, and they're covered from the moment they leave your hands.
The value is $27,650.
Right. I'll just make you a receipt for it. Can I use this typewriter?
Certainly.
$27,650 worth of package.
What are you going to do with it, now that you have it?
I'm going to address it to one Fred Hunter, General Delivery, Hampstead, Long Island, and drop it in the mailbox. Come on, let's get back to dear old Parkside Hotel Grill. I don't like to be in the same town with the cozy corner tea shop.
Hello, Mr. Templar. The usual, sir.
Two of my usuals, please. My daughter here is thirsty.
Your daughter, indeed. Wouldn't you hate to think anybody would believe that?
No, Mr. Templar. I've been waiting for you.
Well, well. A sour note to the symphony. That hat is even more horrible than the last one I saw you in, Mrs. Pratt.
You know a man called Enderby?
Never heard of him. I like the name, though.
At about 3:10 this afternoon, a man entered his office, falsely representing himself to be an agent of the Northwest Insurance Company, and took about $27,000 worth of precious stones.
I can just imagine how poor Mr. Enderby must have felt.
You answer the description of that fake insurance agent, Templar. Miss Sloat, Mr. Enderby's secretary, described you perfectly. Are you coming along quietly?
Certainly not.
Come on down to the station or I'm going to use this gun, Mr. Templar.
Okay, if that's the way you feel about it.
Simon?
I'll be seeing you, darling. Don't worry. I'll be back for dinner. This toy policewoman is going to wish she died when she was little before she's through with this patch.
Taxi!
Yes, ma'am.
All right, Mr. Templar. Get in.
You're such a bossy little woman.
Drive once around the park and then to police headquarters, Center Street, driver.
Yes, ma'am.
Nice of you to take me for this ride, ma'am. I didn't think you liked me.
I want to talk with you.
How touching. Would you mind telling me, dangerous Desdemona, what is that perfume you are wearing? I want to know so I can avoid it.
What did you do with those stones you got out of Enderby's office this afternoon, Saint?
I say, lady, would you mind if I opened a window? It's dreadfully stuffy in here. That perfume you're wearing, Desdemona, it is overcoming.
I know your tricks, Saint. Leave the windows closed.
Oh. There's something funny going on, Mrs. Sprike. I'm getting sleepy. I can't keep my eyes open.
Yeah. I'm getting sleepy, too. It must be...
That perfume. Familiar. Madeline? Aunt Madeline? She's passed out. Driver. Driver.
So, you're waking up for a last look around, are you, Saint?
Yeah. I usually take a voyage at this time of year. I find it bracing for jaded nerves. Would you mind telling me what I'm doing all tied up like a birthday cake?
You're going in for some deep-sea fishing, Saint. You're gonna break the record for staying underwater. Got it?
Yeah. You are the strong-arm boy for the high fence. Did you kill Sonny Jim Fasson?
Sure. I don't mind telling you. He ain't going to talk to anybody.
Well, of course you don't know it, Golden Boy. But when you feed me to the fishes, you also feed them $27,500 worth of diamonds.
Oh, no, we don't. Those diamonds are at the Hempstead Long Island office, addressed to Fred Hunter. General delivery. You told us all about that. The high fence has already gone there to be Mr. Hunter.
Oh. What time is it?
Almost 4 a.m.
You'll pardon me, old fellow, for being inquisitive, but what's been going on? I was gassed in that taxicab.
Sure. The high fence had that cab there waiting for you. I was driving it, and I fed that chloroform into the back seat. The high fence thinks of everything, you know it?
I'm beginning to believe it. Then the high fence gave me a drug to make me talk. That right?
Sure.
Very scientific of him. I'm surprised.
Well, it's about time for you to be going, Saint.
I hope you choke on your last breakfast on the day they hang you for this.
Sure. Come on. Yeah. This is the end of the line, old-timer. So long, Saint.
How do you feel now, Simon?
That hot toddy did it, Pat. And these dry clothes.
I'll kill the guy that did this thing. Just show him to me and I'll kill him.
Now don't be too hard on my friend. After all, if he'd been a little more of a sailor, those knots would have held. And if I'd frittered away my time learning how to make an honest living instead of studying escape tricks under the greatest escape artist since Houdini, I would have been fish food.
Oh, don't talk about it, Simon.
There's a payoff to this gimmick, ain't there, boss?
Elegantly put, Hoppy. We don't know who the high fence is, but we know where he's going, and we know the password he's going to give.
I don't get it.
Well, as long as he thinks I'm entertaining the denizens of the deep, he's going to feel perfectly safe in going to the Hempstead post office and requesting a little package at the general delivery window tomorrow morning. And I'm going to be there to watch him.
Are we going with you?
I'd like you to, but I think you'd better stay in the city. Anyone who wants to amuse himself by pumping me full of gas and dope and heave-hoeing me into the river has got to pay for his fun. And that's where you two come in. I want you to stay right here and wait for a phone call. And when that call comes in...
Yes?
Have you anything for Hunter? Fred Hunter? He's expecting a small package and sent me to pick it up.
A package, huh? Just a minute. Ah, yes, here it is, Mrs. Hunter.
Thank you.
Would you like to see a good-looking ghost, Madeline?
John Henry, here's your high fence. I told you he'd be here after his mail this morning. Or rather, she'd be here.
How did you...
How did I know? Your man on the boat told me, you pretty thing, just before he springboarded me into a closed jackknife dive into the very wet East River.
I have you covered. Mrs. Pryke, what are you doing here?
I don't know what you're talking about.
Watch it! Templar, she's got a gun! Templar, you're an idiot walking into a gun that way.
There's really nothing to it. Just a bit of judo I picked up from a lady Marine I was out with one night.
To think that Madeline Pryke was the high fence. I can't believe it.
John Henry, use that magnificent mind of yours. You told me that she was at Center Street, talking with Johnny Ainsworth just before Johnny died of cyanide in his horseradish.
Yeah. And now that I think of it, she was standing back of me when I was talking to Fasten between me and the door. She must have shot over my shoulder and slammed the door before I could turn around. Well... She's going to burn for this, Simon. By the way, I'll just take that little packet of stones, Saint. They're evidence now, you know.
Of course, old man. I was just holding them for you.
This is once, my boy, when you went to a lot of trouble and didn't make a cent. First time I ever heard of that. Too bad.
Virtue is its own reward. Now you run along, John Henry, and take that bad girl to the Bastille and see that she doesn't get away. I'll see you later. Hello, darling.
Did you get the high fence?
Sure. It was that insurance detective, Madeline Pryke. And listen, I want you and Hoppy to beat the cops to Pryke's apartment and have Hoppy shake it down. I understand there's a couple of $100,000 in cash and diamonds there. And, darling, I always charge a fee for my underwater escape trick. The Magicians Union demands it.
Before we look in again on the saint, let me remind you to ask your grocer for Campbell's new soup, Cream of Spinach. If he doesn't have it, he can get it for you. And wait till you see how the family go for it.
Well, we like spinach, and we like cream soups, Mr. Schindler.
And you'll surely like Campbell's Cream of Spinach Soup, Mrs. Schindler. It's so creamy smooth, so delicately seasoned, and so filled all through with garden-fresh taste. Campbell's, you see, make it from only the finest garden spinach, picked when it's crisp and deep green, then washed and washed until the water runs crystal clear. Then they carefully blend this tender young spinach into the smoothest, creamiest puree imaginable, gently cooked to retain all of the garden goodness.
Mmm, good!
Mmm, good is right. And think what a help Campbell's Cream of Spinach will be with your summer meals. It's the perfect one hot dish to have with salads and other cool supper dishes. And bowls of Cream of Spinach soup and sandwiches make the very best sort of lunch. Yes, ladies, you can build many tempting and easy summer lunches and suppers around Campbell's newest soup, Cream of Spinach. The family will be delighted. And remember, Campbell's soup on your shelf is like a part-time cook in your kitchen.
He's just a boy. How hard did you bop him, Hoppy?
I just give him a little pat on the bean, boss.
Everybody hasn't got as thick a skull as yours.
Gee, do you think he's dead, boss?
Don't know. I'd better feel his heart and find out. Hoppy!
What's the matter, boss?
This time we certainly did win something. Look!
Hey, boss! A beautiful dame! Ah, gee, you always get all the luck.
Yes, Hoppy. And I have a feeling we'll need it in the case of...
The Unlicensed Victualers. You've been listening to a recreation of a lost old-time radio show by American Radio Theater, The Saint. And the episode was called The High Fence. This show had originally been broadcast on June 20th, 1945. Produced and directed by Joy Jackson. In our cast, you heard Mark Whitworth as Simon Templar, the Saint, with Ken Leese as the Commissioner and the Clerk, Joy Jackson as Mrs. Sloat, Magpie McLaurin as Patricia, Pat McNally as Sonny Jim, Liz Roach as Madeline Pryke, Chuck Royalty as Detective Inspector Fernack, Kim Turner as Hoppy, Nick Richa as Quincy the Cabbie, other roles by Karen Leese and Beth Schlansky. I'm Dan Schindler, your announcer. This is ART, the American Radio Theater.
Now let's listen to some music from the days of old-time radio.
CBS presents Woody Herman and his orchestra. Wherever you are, music by Woody Herman and his orchestra, sent to you by CBS, from the Café Rouge of the Hotel Pennsylvania in New York City. Join us a while, why don't you? Gone is that blue flame. Here's a tune sung by Woody Herman. You know it. It's called Is You Is or Is You Ain't My Baby.
Is you is or is you ain't my baby? Way you're acting lately makes me doubt. You're still my baby, baby. One thing don't find out. Woman is a creature that always seems strange. When you show up, when you find, she's gone and made a change. Is you is or is you ain't my baby? Maybe baby's found somebody new. Is my baby still my baby true? that always seems strange. When you're sure of one you find, she's gone and made a change. Is you is or is you ain't, my baby? Maybe baby's found somebody new. Is my baby still my baby true?
Is you is or is you ain't? Well, you must be is or something, because here's Francis Wayne to sing, Woody Herman to play Irresistible You.
Be irresistibly drawn to you. I know from the first it was so. I was caught in the undertow and was lost from the moment we kissed. Irresistible you, my heart has gone to you, and your magic eyes seem to magnetize every part of me. I'm yours, my heart and I insist. For we don't want to resist irresistible you.
Take the A train and head uptown, because Woody Herman would like for us to meet the 125th Street Prophets. Woody? Thank you. Woody Herman sings. He's backed by the boys in the band. And we've got the world on a string.
I've got the world on a string, sitting on a rainbow. Got the string around my finger. What a world, what a life, I'm in love. I've got the song that I sing, I can make the rain go. Anytime I move my finger, lucky me, can't you see I'm in love? Life is a beautiful thing, as long as I hold the string. I'd be a silly so-and-so if I should ever let go. I've got the world on a string, sitting on a rainbow. Got the string around my finger. What a world, what a life, I'm in love.
Cafe Rouge of the Hotel Pennsylvania in New York City, CBS is sending your way the music of Woody Herman and his orchestra. Once again, here's Francis Wayne. The band plays on. It's only a song. It's a crying shame.
Another dream gone by, instead of holding it tightly as devotion demands. You treated love so lightly, it slipped out of our hands, and it's a crying shame that you should mean so much to me. Did you light the flame to watch the embers die? The plans we made were so precious, but you didn't follow them through. You left me crying, crying shame on you.
One, sent from Duke Ellington to Woody Herman. We send it along to you from Woody Herman. I ain't got nothing but the blues. Got the change of a nickel, ain't got no bounce in my shoes, ain't got no fancy to tickle, I ain't got nothing but the blues, ain't got no coffee that's perking. Ain't got no winnings to lose. Ain't got a dream that's working. I ain't got nothing but the blues. When trumpets flare up, I keep my hair up. I just can't make it come down. Believe me, Pappy, I can't get happy since my ever-loving baby left town. Ain't got no rest in my slumbers. Ain't got no feelings to bruise. Maybe I ain't got no telephone numbers. I ain't got nothing but the blues. Thank you.
had nothing but the blues.
Now, what more can we say than Woody Herman, his clarinet, his orchestra, and we go flying home.
That's all the time I've got for today. Please stop by our website, www.americanradiotheater.org, for more of our podcasts. We put up a new one every month. See you next time.